Hello there, and you're very welcome to the programme. We see Fogarty as usual with you until 8 o'clock, but this is an All-Ireland Final special, as you, as of course everybody knows. If you don't know now that the All-Ireland Final Kerry in Dublin is on next Sunday, then you should be heading for the moon or heading for Mars or someplace like that, because you're completely, as the fella said, out of touch. Well, it's an All-Ireland Final special coming to you from the Speakeasy Bar here in downtown Killarney, just right in High Street, and indeed in the 13 years I've been doing this programme, this is the closest I've been to a programme. I just live around the corner, so I hit the Speakeasy just around the corner from where I live to be the closest I had in fact to come tonight. And we have a lot of people to talk to, and we have music, and we have a lot of chat, and we have guests coming in, and we have a lot more to talk about. So if you'd like to contact the program, Mary O'Halloran is waiting for a call at 066 712 3666, and you can text us on 083 300 3300. And indeed somebody came up to me today and they gave me a yearbook. The Kerry GAA yearbook with Paddy O'Shea was the captain, and this is a collector's item now, of course you won't get it anywhere. There's loads of stuff in it, a beautiful, I can tell you it is a beautiful production. And the question we're asking you is, what year did Kerry beat Tyrone? Paddy O'Shea was captain in the All-Ireland Final. What year was Paddy captain when they beat Tyrone in the final? And you'll be in for the Kerry GAA yearbook. You can't get them now, they're unavailable. It's a fabulous production. 066 712 3666, 083 300 3300. And if you want to have a get your comment in, if you want to get a message in, or if you want to give anything at all for the programme, we'd just love to hear from you. Well, it's Kerry in Dublin, it's the dream final next Sunday, and Colm Cooper, of course, the Killarney man, he's going to be captain. Will he become the first Cork man to bring the Sam Maguire Cup back to Kerry? We'll have to wait and see, and back to Killarney. 066 712 3666, 083 300 3300. And of course the Speakeasy here is owned by the O'Donoghue family. It's a family run pub here in High Street, and if you want one of the great sporting pubs in this town, in this county, the Speakeasy is the place to be. Gavin O'Donoghue is the son of the landlord here. He joins me on the programme. Gavin, you're very welcome to the programme. And thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Great stuff. And as I said, one of the great GAA pubs in this county.
Well, I don't know about that, like, yeah, but it's great. We have association with Crokes for many a year, like, and, or, you know, we just, the lads come in the whole time there, all the players, and saying that your own club now, we get great support from the Legion as well, like, they're, you know, the, we don't discriminate, kind of, you know.
But it's an odd sport. It's
everybody. Oh, it is everything.
Your dad, Tom, of course, is into Greyhounds in a big way, isn't he?
Oh, so he's over in Tralee now tonight. Again, he's another runner tonight, and so that takes precedent over everything with Tom, like, Greyhounds.
I'm also joined by Vince Casey. Vince, you're very welcome to the programme, the chairman of the Dr. Crokes Club.
Good evening, Wishy.
Thanks for joining us, Vince. Vince, in the run-up to the programme, in the run-up to the final, of course, with Colm Cooper captain, what has it been like for the club in the run-up to the final, having the captain and the responsibility, of course, that rests on his shoulders?
It's been phenomenal, but it's been fantastic as well. There's been huge load of publicity in relation to it. RTE were there last week, and it was on television on Tuesday night. It was just great to see, I suppose, the exposure that a coaching structure is taking, and where, as I said, where I suppose Colm started, and indeed Kieran and Owen and all the other good players, and as I said, that's where they start, and thankfully we just continue to bring through players through the age group, and it's based on a very good coaching structure, you know. So
I've just said there that he'd be the first Crokeman to bring home the Sam Maguire Cup to the town, but not long that he'd be the first Crokeman to captain an All-Ireland winning team since 1913-14, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
It's a huge gap, really. It is for a big club like the Crokes. It's kind of, it's just hard to kind of fathom it, isn't it?
Well, it is wishy, I suppose, but like I suppose we had nominations for captaincy previously in 1969, and I think we had the nomination that time. We nominated Johnny Collett, and we had in 1984, after Killarney winning the championship in 83, we had gone further in East Kerry, and we nominated Dermot first, and Dermot unfortunately didn't make the final in Ambrose then after. So we had nominations, but this is the first time, as I said, that we have one of our own since Dick Fitzgerald, you know.
Gavin, what is the talk been like at the counter and around in the run up to the final this week? Have you what have you been hearing across the counter in relation to the game?
Well, I've been hearing that they're going really well in training, like that lads, and I suppose there's been an awful lot of talk about the midfield and all year long, but I think, you know, they've been underrated all year. They haven't lost any game midfield all year long, and I just say I think everybody's very optimistic about the final really down here. They reckon think they're going to do it all right. I think
Vince Gavin mentioned midfield there, but in today's football, midfield isn't making that much difference. When you'll see the stats now, probably on Terrace Talk Monday night, you maybe have to see maybe only two or three balls really cut around the middle of the field. That's the general consensus now.
Well, it is very much so, and I think much more so when you play Dublin, because Duxton targets his wing forwards and wing backs for a lot of kickoffs, doesn't really tend to kick the ball out straight out the middle. Now, as Gavin said about Kerry Midfield, a player that has really impressed me in the last few games and his development, I think Anthony Maher, is, I thought he was superb against Mayo. He seems to be able to do everything. He's a good fielder. He's very good on the ball, and there's a great work rate as well. And Brian is playing quite well as well. Do you know? But you're right, like, Richie, this is the game has just evolved, and I suppose it's evolving even more. Donegal have brought it to a new level of evolvement where you can actually give in midfield and you still have a chance of winning the game. Now, they took it probably to the extreme, but Dublin, to a point, play a similar type game. They drop their wing forwards back, and like, it's an awful lot about breaking ball.
1975, a very young, inexperienced Kerry team went up to Croke Park and they ran Dublin off the field. Could you see something similar happening only in reverse this year, Vince?
I can't really. That has been written about that it could be the passing over of the baton, like Colm O'Rourke was saying today. But right, like Kerry might be. There's a good few years on them, but like there's a lot of experience as well, and there certainly isn't a lack of pace in the team. I certainly wouldn't see a lack of pace like the forward line. I don't think any forward line would live with them. If we get 40% of the ball to them, I think that'll do us, because Dublin will have their full forward line, right? If you hold the two Rogans, Dublin aren't going to score a whole lot. And as we said earlier on today, like, can Dublin hold Kerry to less than 112? For them to have a realistic chance of beating us, they'll have to do that.
Gavin, a lot of people were very surprised at Paul Gallivan, who's probably one of the best footballers in the country. He was Footballer of the Year there from the two associations a number of years ago, and still Jack O'Connor hasn't picked him. He's dead with Dunica,
yeah.
Welsh. Would you be surprised with that?
I was very surprised. I actually thought that this is a fellow who was Player of the Year a couple of years ago, and I just don't think he should be used just as an impact sub, like, my own opinion. I think if he is one of the best footballers in the country, he should be there for the 70 minutes. It's baffling. I don't think he's...
Vince, staying with the same thing in relation to Paul Gallivan, maybe it's the case if he hasn't started a game this year. Is it a case of Jack O'Connor wanting to hold on to Dunica Welsh, or is it the case that he doesn't think that Paul Gallivan would last the full game?
I think it says a lot about the team that Paul Gallivan isn't starting. Like, as I said, that the forward line have been playing fantastic football. I think you want your best players, like, and as you mentioned about the modern game has changed. Like, the modern game generally has been decided in the last 20 minutes, and you want your best players on the pitch at that stage. And it's just a great thing in Kerry. They just have a choice of players. In the forward line particularly, like, I suppose Paul is just, I suppose probably the swing towards it was Paul has played about 2.5 hours of football in the last year, and maybe that was possibly the reason why they went that way. You know, I'm sure Paul is going to come in and make a huge contribution in the game, like he always does.
You've been talking to Colm Cooper, I have no doubt, during the week and midweeks in the run up to the final. Can you see any change in his demeanour in relation to his being captain, Vince, or is he the very same now as he was for the last 2 years, or after qualifying? Is there any little bit of pressure? Can you see any little bit of pressure coming on him? Is he anywhere different?
No, Colm is a great man to take pressure, and as I said, he's a natural leader. And I laughed at some of the journalists that were questioning his form. Was the captaincy getting to him? And as I said, I've seen him in a dressing room over the past number of years, and though he wasn't captain in a lot of the years, with, as in accepting cups or whatever, he was the captain in a lot of ways, and that he was the speaker within the dressing room. Once he spoke, everyone stayed quiet, and it always made sense as well. So Colm takes everything in his stride, and ultimately what Colm is interested in is the team winning. And if he performs alongside that, so be it. But the team is ultimately, because he knows the results are based on the whole team.
Gavin, being involved in the family business here all your life and grown up as a fellow in the pub, you've seen Kerry winning a lot of All-Irelands. What's the difference on the Monday and the Sunday night? between Kerry winning in All Ireland and Kerry losing in All Ireland in relation to the customers coming in and in relation to the forum of the fellas? Can you see? Well, there is a difference, of course, but what is the difference? Explain it from a man at the other side of the counter.
I suppose there's a lot of doom and gloom on the Monday.
Would you know what is a lot of doom and gloom?
Oh, you would, like, but I suppose, you know, they're down their sorrows, and there's a lot of, you know, post-martin's gone. Everybody's an expert, of course, on Monday, like, you know, and, you know, finals, you know, they're tough to call, no matter whether you're warm favourites or outsiders.
And what about the winning team, the winning Mondays?
They're great crack, in fairness, though. Like, you have the likes of Joe Kelly there, who's coming on now, like, and he meets the boys, I think, first in Castle Island, I think, on Monday morning, and then he meets them here again then after it, and then, you know, they're just great banter all together around the place, and, you know, they put in so much all year long. It's just great to see the lads letting loose and be able to be let loose and not worry about another game coming up, like, so.
Vince, the same thing to you. It's a thing, really, that hasn't been discussed. The difference in Kerry, the difference in Killarney between the team coming home winning and the team coming home losing. What way do you read it? Because it's something different, isn't it?
Well, it is very much. But
what's the difference?
The difference, it doesn't have to be about Kerry. You can take that to club level. There's a huge difference between winning and losing. As Gavin said, I think the biggest thing between what I just find the most frustrating part really is that if they lose, everyone is critical of them. And they'll find ways of criticising, and they'll be picking their own teams, and they'll be questioning ability, and on the lead into it, they're great. And as I said, they don't change. 60 minutes or 70 minutes seems to change opinions in a lot of ways. If they win, the criticism is there's no criticism there. But as I said, I think that's the main difference, really. You know,
you're the chairman of your club. Have you satisfied everybody with tickets?
Thankfully, we did. Nearly everyone who looks for tickets, we have. And I must say, Peter Twist has done an outstanding job in the county board in relation to allocations and that. And I just want to thank him on air. I suppose anyone that we had the draw originally, and then we got a second allocation, and thankfully the people that needed them. Obviously, I contacted with a few other people around within the club to make sure that we weren't overlapping. And I suppose the biggest thing we were ensuring was that people that were that wanted tickets were people actually going to the games, and they weren't taking tickets to pass on to other people. And I think that's happened as well, because we said we weren't going to give tickets to people if they weren't going to the game, and it's worked out well, thankfully, in Kerry, you know.
Well, if anybody isn't going to the game, they'd be able to listen to it live on Radio Kerry. All you have to do is turn down the sound and the television and turn up the radio. Or if you're inside in the pub and you can't hear the radio, Gavin, I suppose the place will be packed someday, will it? Big day.
It'll be a big enough day, right? I think the night, but if they win, the night will be a lot bigger than the actual day of the match. Like, you know, there'll be a lot more around, and then the Monday, of course, will be fantastic.
Clear, before we finish up, yeah. The speak easy. It resonates an awful lot of thoughts in the back of my mind. Speak easy. Goes back to Chicago, back in the 30s. Where did the name originate from?
I'd say Tom was watching a lot of gangster movies, I'd say, a few years back.
You're not saying he's a bit of a gangster himself, are you?
There's plenty more to say that besides me saying it, like, but I'd say it was Kim. I don't know where he came up with it. I know I'm put into it anyway, but I think he's done a good job with it. Like, it's
Vince, what do you say? Speak easy. What does it resonate with you?
Well, I don't know about the name. It doesn't just resonate with me. It's just a great place to come, and you're always going to meet a crowd here, and there's always a good banter and good crack here, as I said, you know.
Yeah, well, I know my own son drops in here regularly anyway, because he said to me tonight, come down, don't forget to mention a man I often met inside there, and he died during the year. Great customer, Cushion Casey.
Yeah.
Not to let the program pass without, he was one of your great customers, a lovely gentleman. Was born below inside the gates of the National Park, was a great man, a great GA follower, and great fella.
A great character of the town, like, and outside of the bar here at all, he was one of the greatest characters the town has ever seen, like, and geez, he sadly missed out by all of us. And, you know, there's a good few other people now that's passed away, unfortunately, during the year, like, and...
Yeah.
It's kind of been a tough year here for us, because you don't become friends with people. They're more than customers, like, you know. You become friends with like some Coach there and Donald Dock and a few lads who passed away during the year, and, you know, they're more than customers, like, and they're sadly missed. by every
course.
Day, like.
We're finishing up with the lads now. Of course, I couldn't bring down all the emails. I got loads and loads of emails coming in all the week, and somebody rang me up from Linksna today and to tell you what's happening. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 young lads who played with Linksna in the hurling and Finug in the football. They're out in Australia tonight listening to the programme. Lads, I want to say hello to you. They're from Linksna. There's Michael Quilter, Frank Rean, Keith Boyd, Brian Allen and Damien Conway. And they're all out in Australia listening to the programme. And they all played, Vince, a lot of you last players, my own club, the Legion, last players, a lot of immigration going on, unfortunately, at the moment. I seem to want to send the best wishes to him. Ivan O'Connor posted in Terrace Talk Wall. Hello, Wishy. I'm just going back to my earlier question. I live in Galway, a place I'm sure you know well. I won't be able to make the speak easy tonight, but I'll see you on the Gresham Sunday. This is the question he gives now. Conversation about 36 and counting in Dublin versus Kerry by Tom Humphries. Which page states that after the minor final, listen, after the minor final of 1975, he says, Charlie Nelligan took his place on the subs bench for the Kerry seniors. Did he get a medal? Because if he did, he'd also have 8 All-Ireland medals. He's questioned how many people in Kerry have 8 All-Ireland medals. Charlie Nelligan, after the minor final in 75, was a sub in the Kerry seniors. Did he get a medal? Somebody might give us a question and an answer for that. 0667123600833300. Andrew Morris is producing the programme tonight with Eileen Minehan, and Mary's back in studio. Liam is on sound tonight. We have lots of more people to talk to. Vince and Gavin, thanks for joining us, lads.
Thanks very much,
Wish. And enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Wish. Just before we finish, I might just say a quick hello to John Minehan, our president in Tralee. He's unfortunately can't make the game Sunday. He's just recovering from a slight illness, and just want to just pass on our regards to him. You know, great
we'll all agree with that.
Kept the club going in the 40s, and
a great man and a gentleman of the highest caliber. John, we send you our best wishes, my friend. So we'll be back shortly. Stay with us on Terrace Talk.
Radio Kerry, live from the Speakeasy Bar, Killarney, for a Terrace Talk All-Ireland Final Special.
Thank you for that, Pat Griffin, up there in Listowel. We're in the Speakeasy Bar in High Street, Killarney, with the special All-Ireland, just building up the tension for the All-Ireland, of course, Kerry in Dublin, and next Sunday. 0667123600 0833300 0833300. What year did Paddy O'Shea captain Kerry against Dublin the last time that Dublin met in an All-Ireland final? You'll be in for that yearbook of 1986. Now I'm joined by two more people. Tara Cronin is the secretary of the London Kerry Association. Mike Murphy's a Killarney man. He's a Killarney Legion man like myself. He joins us to have a chat about the match. Tara, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Lucy.
You're all the way over from London for the game, and you're here and you're just living in Killarney, you're living in Ahador.
I am indeed, yeah, I just come over for a week.
Yeah. Will there be a big exodus from London over, Tara, do you think?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of people that come over. I mean, I came over on the flight on Wednesday and the flight was full with loads of young people coming over, especially with so many people moving over there at the moment.
You'll be certainly praying that Kerry are going to win, because you have a big night coming up in London in October.
That's
the
right.
End of October. Tell us about it.
We have our annual dinner and dance on the 28th of October in the Crown Mourne Hotel in Cricklewood, and hopefully we'll be having Sam Maguire, Colm and Jack over. They normally come over whenever they win or they lose, to support it, and it means a lot to people in London when they come over, because people get to see them and they go down, they meet them at different places and they go and visit different charities and bits and pieces like that. So it's very important for people in London and the outcome of the game as such.
Yeah. It's important that you can have your get together, and the fact that Kerry win really bring the Kerry people more and more together. I was over there 1 or 2 years, and I'd be going over to you this year with the help of God also. And every time Kerry win, you definitely have a far, far bigger crowd.
Yeah, normally we can hold about 340 in the room, but if Kerry win, the demand for the tickets is just phenomenal. You know, you could sell the room probably a bit like Croke Park twice over.
How long are you secretary of the association?
I've been secretary for 5 years.
You're from, tell us where you're from.
I'm from Nunstown, Ahado, and I moved to London about 15 years ago.
Yeah, and busy thing, the secretary. I see you're working very hard there. You're always shouting out emails and stuff like that.
I am indeed. We've got several fundraising events throughout the year. The biggest ones are our golf day and the dinner and dance. And the money that we raise from those goes to help disadvantaged Kerry people in London, whether it be they need money to pay for their bills or a funeral or charity
good
work.
Stuff, yeah.
So yeah, that's
what important. Date is the event on again?
Our event is the Friday the 28th of October.
Yeah, we look forward to.
Yes, absolutely.
We look forward to meeting you there, Tara. Mike Murphy, Mike, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Vic.
Even though I know you longer than Terrace Talkers on the air, you were never on the programme before.
No.
Have you something against me or something?
I won't tell you, no, on here.
Anyway, Mike, you're very welcome here. Thanks. Farmer Kerry Minor yourself.
Oh, yeah.
What year did you play Kerry Minor?
77.
How did you do that year?
Beaten by Cork in the park, so...
Who have been your teammates now, Mike? And you let laugh a few names.
Ty Connor down the road here.
Yeah.
Teddy's, Dermot Dunne had broken his leg.
Yeah.
He had been a minor the year before, next to the minor. Gabriel Casey.
Yeah.
People like that.
Yeah. Was it a good Cork team to beat you?
It was very strong.
Yeah.
Strong, yeah.
You mentioned Diarmuid O'Donoghue there. His son, clubmate of your own,
He's a sub next Sunday, that's right. And we're delighted for him. And he'd probably have made a bit of progress quicker, but just his first 12 months really, injury free for the past 3 years. So he had two quite bad shoulder injuries. So it was great to see him there.
It's very important for all clubs. In Spa have their own men. Spa have their own men. The Crokes have, is it three or four the Crokes have?
Five
the Crokes have. The Legion have won on, so Killarney is well represented. And it's important for the promotion of football in all clubs, Mike, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I think it's fantastic. As Gavin said there earlier, the banter with all the different people in the bar and things here like that, it's great.
Yeah. You know? Mike, looking at the match itself now, like everybody in Kerry is going to say Kerry is going to win probably anywhere. What way do you see it going, and what way do you read the game?
I feel myself Kerry would probably win it by a few pints, all right. I usually have a little bet on the handicap and the spread betting, but one can't be sure either, you know. If the Dublin forwards run at the Kerry defence, that could prove a bit of a problem. But other than that, no, I think our forwards are too good.
Yeah. You know? Tara, what's your view of the game?
Hopefully we'll win, and especially for Cullum, you know, with me being from Killarney and just being involved with the Crokes, it would be just nice to see him lift Sam Maguire.
Yeah. How many members would you have in your association in London?
We have about... over 100 members that pay the membership, but the following that we have is quite big throughout London. So probably in terms of the dinner and dance, we could fill it to 500. Yeah. So many, and then wow. Each year people come as guests, and then the following year they take tables themselves. Yeah. And they've become on board as sponsors, which helps us raise more money again.
Yeah. Mike, I was asking Vince Casey about how the tickets were going in the Crokes. What's your own club, the Legion, how the tickets going there?
Well, I wasn't involved in it, but Denny Murphy, there, the chairman, and Geraldine Keane, secretary, told me that I think everyone got looked after.
Somebody said, all right, today I was listening to somebody on the radio, they said everybody that deserves a ticket nearly gets a ticket, even though I met Dennis Gairn today, the great Dennis Gainey from Killarney, and he has missed an All Ireland for 25 years and he's still looking for a ticket.
Well, maybe if you will surface now in the next day or two, which usually happens, you know. Yeah. So hopefully he will get it.
Anyway, Mike, nice talking to you, my friend.
Thank you, Wade.
Enjoy the weekend. And Tara, enjoy the weekend. And the next time I'll be seen, we'll probably will be
in London
in October with the help of God. Looking forward to that. Yeah, it's going to be great. And hope the couple will be there.
Thanks
okay,
very
yeah.
much.
So Tara and Mike, thanks for joining us. 466-712-3666 083-300-3300. What year did Paddy O'Shea captain Kerry against Dublin when he was the winner of the All Ireland? By the way, next Wednesday night in conversation, don't miss it. I'm in conversation with a Killarney man who's just back from Mexico after recording a program about the San Patricios out there back in 1846. He's Charlie O'Brien, coming from a great Killarney family. He's after writing a song about all this. Don't miss it. It's a fascinating story. The legend of the San Patricios out there, a man out there by the name of Commandant John O'Reilly. He left the American army, joined the Mexican army, a lot of the Irish went with him and fought against America, and a lot of them were hanged out there, and Charlie O'Brien went out there to Mexico, and that documentary will be going out shortly on television. But you can hear him live in conversation with me next Wednesday between 6 and 7. 066-712-3666. Stay with us, we'll be back shortly.
Radio Kerry, live from the Speakeasy Bar, Killarney, for a Terrace Talk All-Ireland Final Special.
Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the programme, coming from the Speakeasy Bar here in High Street, Killarney, a family bar run by the O'Donohoes, Tom Donohoe, great doggy man. He's in Tralee tonight. Anyway, he's not here, but anyway, it's a Speakeasy Bar, a bar for all sports, I can tell you that. Best of luck to Kieran O'Leary from Danielle, Jason and Keith and Kilcommon. Another one in. Let's hang out all the flags and colours. Support our heroes from Councillor Pat Hussey. Yellow cards have to be avoided, somebody else says, and we could be in trouble. Unfortunately, the radio is ahead of the telly, we see, by about 3 seconds. Of course, that's because we are faster. We can see what's going to happen, you see. Answers in from Eddie O'Connell, Nicholas McAuliffe, Mary Moriarty, John Williams and Aileen Murphy and Mary O'Donohoe. And also wishing the Kerry team all the best from David, Christopher and Dylan. And loads and loads of more coming in there. Now, so I'm joined by three more men. I'm joined by Ger Brosnan and Mike Buckley and by Connie Murphy. Lads, you're very welcome.
Thanks,
Connie, former Kerry captain and All-Star, what's it like? I presume you're travelling anyway.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You're travelling anyway,
looking
yeah.
Looking forward to it, yeah.
What's it like for a former All-Star and a former Kerry player sitting down watching them from the stand? Is it easier for you, for other people than it would be for a former player? What's it going to be like for you?
I think everybody would be nervous.
Yeah?
Being honest about it. I think everybody kicks the ball with the lads, and anybody that follows football, I suppose, has the excitement and the thrill of it, yeah.
Did you play against Dublin in your time in league or championship, Connie?
In league.
In league, yeah. Did you find, how did you find playing against Dublin teams? Are they different? Do they play a different style? Have they different personalities?
No, I don't think they'd have different personalities. They were all great players in their day too, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, football has changed over the years too.
It's got quicker.
The defence, and you can see that in the last few games.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, teams have changed, with every year.
Would you prefer to be playing in today's style of football, or were you happier playing in your own style back in... You captain Kerry in 82, would you be happier, Connie, back then?
I suppose Kerry football hasn't changed that much. Do you know, we still use a quick ball and still kick it into the likes of Donny, and you had the bomber, and, you know, I think Kerry football hasn't changed that much. They always keep the same traditions. Maybe other teams have changed a bit to try and counteract Kerry. But I don't think Kerry football has changed that much.
Yeah, you mentioned Kieran Donaghy there. Not having a great year, Connie?
I don't think... I mean, he's not having a great year. He was well marked in the last match. And I suppose teams double up on him an awful lot. He was a big man. And they know his strengths, and they counteract that. But I have a sneaky feeling Kieran has a big say in this match.
But it's a very special year for the Crokes, of course, not alone being captain, but having five players on the panel. That makes it extra special for you, even going up watching them now, doesn't it?
Oh, it's a huge thing for our club, Wishy, and having Cullum captain is a massive thing for us. Do you know, I mean, it's a dream for a club to have five lads there, and to have Cullum there especially, and he's so well liked around the county. It's a great trend.
And there's a man sitting alongside you there, Mike Buckley. His son is a sub next Sunday. Mike, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Wish.
Great honour to have your son togging out in Croke Park.
Ah, yeah. There's a good buzz around the place, and nice buzz in our house as well this week. You know, it's a very special occasion. Great time for a young fella to be involved. Himself, James O'Donohoe, Dahi Casey, a lot of the future Kerry footballers. So it's nice to be involved this time as well, you know.
Yeah. You're travelling, of course, up to the game.
Heading up, yeah.
The importance of the midfield next Sunday, Mike. I wanted to do that. We touched on it before.
Yeah, midfield is going to be vital the next day. Now, again, with the open way that Kerry play football, obviously the breaking ball will be important as well. But certainly, any questions haven't been asked of Anthony Maher or Brian Sheehan as of yet. In any of the midfield duels, the two midfielders the next day, Bastic in particular, is an experienced old head, so they'll give our fellas plenty of it. And I suppose one of the concerns you would have as a Kerry man is our lack of midfield cover. Obviously Michal Quirk is retired, Seamus Scanlon has an injury doubt about him, and Johnny obviously is inexperienced in that.
Johnny's your own son?
Yes,
yep.
Hasn't played intercounty. So,
sorry to interrupt you. How's he finding it, the training, Mike? You probably have a chat with him now.
Absolutely.
How
yeah.
does he find your son now? He's reputed to might might be the next one of the next Kerry midfielders. How is he finding Trey? What does he say to you in relation to? Does he find him very strong?
First of all, Johnny Buffy doesn't talk much,
yeah.
So he says very little.
Yeah, yeah. He's not taking after his father, is he?
No, obviously not. Obviously not. No, he's finding it great. I mean, since Micheál Quirk has pulled out, he's been in midfield against Anthony Maher and Brian Sheehan. They're going very well inside there. And
yeah.
He said the training is very, very intense. Phil, there's a lot of positions up for grabs as well. And you know yourself, Weishi, it's going to take 19 or 20 fellas to win this All-Ireland on Sunday. And the guys on the bench, the Daniel Bohans and the James O'Donohoes or whoever are brought in, are going to have to play their role as well.
Yeah.
You know? Because it is a 70-minute intense game, the Dubs are going to have terrible ferocity on Sunday. And it's going to be vitally important that Kerry keep up with them. And then with tiring legs with 10 or 15 minutes to go, you're going to need the extra three or four guys coming in, you know?
Yeah, you mentioned tiring legs.
Yes.
Will the Kerry tiring legs be more tiring than the Dublin legs?
That's the big question.
That will only be proven on Sunday. Correct. No one can answer that.
No, Sunday will be the acid test of that. I mean, say Dublin play high intensity, they are going to crowd the defence.
Yeah.
And it's just to see how Kerry react. I think if Kerry are patient the next day, we should and take their scores, their experience should pull them through in the end.
Yeah, it was above the hurling final, and we saw the Kilkenny defence who were also aging, but they won the game from.
Correct.
Der Brassen is the chairman of the Fitzgerald Stadium, and Dr. Crokman. Der, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Weishi.
Yeah. You've been watching the lads training above in the stadium. You've been watching them. You've been up there a lot of the nights. I've seen you. Talk to us about the training there. What would you bring away from you when you watch Kerry training? What do you see? The watchers on the hill and the watchers on the stand now. It's fascinating, isn't it?
It's fascinating, yeah. There's a lot of ball play with the last few weeks, you know, that I've seen, you know. I had the privilege of being behind closed doors, so I better not say too much about that, Jack might give out. But to be fair, it's all ball work, really. They do a lot of warming up, and it's all ball work after that, really.
So you saw the game behind closed doors?
I saw two games behind closed doors.
No, lads, we have it.
My mouth is sealed, I can't say.
You would never expect the Garda anyway to be leaving out state secrets like that. Come here, talking about the stadium, of course. It's ideal for the lads' training, of course. The stadium is special. It's as big as Croke Park, and the atmosphere there, and they have been training there, back there, since it opened in 1936. I've been watching them since 1955, training up there. The stadium and the training there, it means a lot to Jack O'Connor and the trainers before him, doesn't it?
Well, it does, they're talking about moving out to Corns, but I just can't see the Kerry senior team training for an All-Ireland final anywhere else only but the Fitzgerald Stadium. Like, it's tradition, and Kerry is all about tradition, so...
They couldn't manage the crowds out there anyway, Mike.
I suppose they couldn't. Well, I know they need it for the other teams, the hurling teams and the under-21 and minors there during winter, you know, for the winter time, like, but I'd imagine the Kerry senior football team will always train for the championship in the Fitzgerald Stadium.
Yeah. Connie, the Kerry defence versus the Dublin forwards, in particular the two Brogans.
Yeah.
Who would you expect to see marking the two Brogan brothers the next day? I think that's fairly obvious, really, isn't it?
Well, I suppose, I don't think, I think Mark O'Shea will be marking Allen and, you know, it's all going to come down to great players putting their heads above the wall, like. And I can see the Kerry defence going well. You will have time, so the Dublin forwards are going to be good, because they are good forwards, and it's going to be the same. I expect a great battle. I think it'll be a great match, actually. I'm really looking forward to a great match.
Yeah, call it for us.
I think Kerry by about 3 points.
Yeah, Mike.
I read a funny statistic today, actually, Weishi, that no number 13 has ever captained an All-Ireland winning team, and Colm Cooper is going to break that mould on Sunday.
Yeah, well, he's been breaking moulds all over the place.
Absolutely.
So far anyway.
And
so
if anyone is to do it, the Gooch will do it, so don't worry.
By the way, I should say that Mike Buckley's late father drove me to my wedding, would you believe, the morning we got married. The
lovely
chin.
So he did a good job, but Weishi, you're still married, aren't you?
He did indeed. But I'm not, like they're now under what happened down behind closed doors, I'm not going to reveal what he said when he was driving us away from the wedding.
That's all right.
Because he said something new, Dad could do that, all right. He'd be, by the way, Mike, how are you? You're about 20 or 30 buses yourself. How has the tourist season been?
Tourist season is very, very good.
We it's a serious now, it, is yeah? it? Good
yeah,
stuff,
absolutely,
good stuff,
yeah. Golf market is up, yeah. And we have the Solheim Cup contract in Dublin next week, so that's a very big piece of business for us as well. So no, we're delighted, everything is going well, and I think the corner has been turned, hopefully.
Lovely, and by the way, I must say, talking about tourism, and I'd associate the tourism with the Jarvis. Danny Ferris, a great Jarvis here, that's in right. Killarney, one mm-hmm. of Killarney's great Jarvis. Danny is sick at the moment, and he's recuperating in hospital, got a bad knockout. Danny, my friend, I know you're listening to Tellers Talk. We're thinking about you. We send you our very, very best. Now, dear, judging on what you saw at the two games behind closed doors, how do you think Kerry are going to put out their men? Do you think they're going to play two men back, or they're going to play three men back? What do you think yourself? Come on, don't be ducking and dodging.
I'm ducking and dodging like the goose player. I'm not to say. But I think there hasn't been any major draw this year, and yeah. I think the game's gone into the draw.
Yeah, good. Well, yeah. Might be, yeah. And by the way, if it was a draw, is it Saturday week, Zan? Saturday 2 weeks, if it is a draw. Yeah. It is a draw. Listen, Connie, lovely meet. Who's the best player you ever marked?
On the spot. I suppose Larry Tompkins would have to be up there.
Oh, great player, yeah. Right. Mike, lovely talking to you.
Thank you.
Lads, the best of luck. Enjoy the weekend. 0667 136 6 08 3300 3300. We have loads more to talk to. And when we come back, we're going to have some great music. Stay with us on Terrace Talk.
Radio Kerry, live from the Speakeasy Bar, Killarney, for a Terrace Talk All-Ireland Final Special.
Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back. We're coming from the Speakeasy Bar here in High Street, Killarney. The O'Donoghue's run, this is a family business. And Brian O'Donoghue is missing tonight because he's up in Portrush. Brian isn't here, one of the family. But Aina and his little daughter is here, probably the youngest that we have. And Trey's, of course, his wife, she's here. And Brian O'Donoghue missing tonight, but he'll be here over the weekend, no doubt at all about it. So there's the O'Donoghue's, and of course Gavin and Mary O'Donoghue, of course, and Tom. That's the family-run business here in High Street. Hi, Wishy. When is the Radio Kerry draw for the tickets going on? And that's tomorrow at lunchtime. They're drawing the tickets. How's it going, Wishy? Will you wish all the Kerry team the best of luck from Paddy Hurley here from Ballydesmond? Paddy, my friend, how are you? He's the DVD man out there. Paddy, congratulations to Pat Griffin, a native of Lispole, on his research into the book Gaelic Hearts, that's from the Fitzgeralds. And of course, I had Pat Griffin on an hour in conversation last Wednesday night. He spent 30 years researching his book in London, Gaelic Hearts. Great fella. Noreen Flaherty was on, best of luck to Paul Gallivan. And the subs who got medals in 1975, this was the question I put out. Bat O'Shea was 1, John Long was 2, John Bunyan was 3, George O'Driscoll was 4, Donny Sullivan was 5, and Jackie Welch was 6. So the goalkeeper, Charlie Nelligan, who was a sub that day, did not get a medal, so he hasn't got 8 All-Ireland medals, going by what we have there. Now, so, we're going for a bit of moogie, as the fella says, to lighten up the thing. And we're going to hear from a great ballad group. We had them on Terrace Talk before. They're from Slieve Lucre. They're known as Culcannon, and they consist of three brothers, Pádraig Owen and Sean Doyle, and Ger Hurley, he also is with them. And they're going to sing The Green Hills of Kerry. And I can tell you, this group are as good a group as you'll get in the 32 counties, even though they're laughing at that themselves. I don't know why they're laughing at it, because they are, and I mean it. Okay, lads, in your own time.
All the palm trees waving high, all along your fair Kerry shores. And you hill of Kerry, I never will see you more. Then why did I leave my home, and why did I cross the sea? And hear the small birds singing around your sweet tree. The noble and the brave have departed from our shore. They're gone to fight the war where the mighty cannons roar. Will they ever again return, but to see old Ireland free? And hear the small bird singing around your sweet tree. Oh, the palm waving high all along your far Kerry shores. And you hills of Kerry, I never will see you more. Then why did I leave my home, and why did I cross the sea, and hear the small but singing around your sweet tree? Will they ever see the shamrock not sight so fine and grand, or hear the curlew flying high o'er lonely Bannistrand? As I stand on that foreign shore, and I think of what might be, shall I ever more return again to see you sweetly? Oh, the palm trees waving high all along your fertile shores, and you hilt of Kerry, I never will see you more. Then why did I leave my home, and why did I cross the sea, and hear the soft but singing around your sweet tree? No more the sun will shine on that blessed harvest morn, or hear the reaper singing in a field of golden corn. There's a band for every woe, and a cure for every pain. But the laughing eyes of my darling girl, I never will see again. Oh, the palm trees waving high all along your fertile shore, and you hills of Kerry, I never will see you more. And the kingdom, why did I leave my home, and why did I cross the sea, and hear the small for singing around your sweet tree?
Oh, let's hear it for Colcannon. Colcannon. Three brothers, Pádraig Gonn and Sean Doyle and Ger Kelly there, rattling it out. Well done, lads. Well done. By the way, there's a little lad out coming in here, Brian Neeson. He's only six years old, and he's from Millwood. He's with his mum there. And he's the grandson of Mike Neeson, a great old friend of mine, Mike Neeson. One of the great singers ever to come out of this town. And Brian Neeson. Brian, you're very welcome, my friend. He's only six, but he's still very welcome. Well done, Brian. Now, so, by the way, don't forget, there's a big terrace talk coming from the Gresham Hotel next Sunday morning between 11 and 1. If you're up in Dublin, drop into the Gresham between 11 and 1, and you'll be able to join in terrace talk again, and the place, as usual, will be packed. You're more than welcome for it. We'll never stick it, lads. Now, so, I'm joined by two more, Peter O'Leary, former Kerry goalkeeper, All-Ireland midfielder, and Colm Kelly. Colm and Peter, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Rich.
Colm, if I could start with you. You have a unique story in relation to Kerry in Dublin, because your dad, Mort Kelly, was one of the legendary Kerry footballers. Off the top of my head now, I don't know how many winning medals he won, but he also played midfield for Dublin against Kerry in an All-Ireland final. Talk to us about your dad.
That's right, Richie. He played for Kerry first in 32 and 33, and then at the beginning of 34, there was a little bit of a falling out at the time. Between Tralee, basically, and maybe the rest of Kerry. But Dad was teaching in Dublin at the time.
Killarney, no?
No, not at all. Killarney are free of iniquity. And he was teaching in Dublin, and he was playing at the Geraldine Club in Dublin, a very famous club, now defunct. And he was in very bad form after falling out with Kerry, and Dublin asked him if he would declare for Dublin. So, as he said, in a fit of temper, he decided he would. Geraldine's won the Dublin County Championship, and playing for Dublin then, he was captain of Dublin, and they won Leinster, and Kerry won Munster in 1934. And then the All-Ireland semi-final, it was Kerry versus Dublin in Tralee. At that time, we, as I understand it, there was a bit of a home and away arrangement between Jones's Road and Tralee. Anyway, Dad was centre half forward for Dublin, captaining Dublin, and they beat Kerry by 8 points in Tralee. And I remember asking him in later life, you know, you must have got a kind of a hostile reception afterwards. And he said to me, well, we changed our clothes in Limerick on the way back.
That was the year back in Tralee where Kerry Dublin, they made all the ham sandwiches in Tralee. And when the Dubs beat Kerry, all the Dubs ran for the train and all the Kerry people ran for home and they were eating ham sandwiches in Tralee for months after. Do you know that? And they opened the new stand there that day
all
and
right.
They extended the pitch. They had a new pitch and all for that All-Ireland semi-final.
Yeah.
By the way, of course, in Cullum, Kerry Dublin games would have greater memories for you, so you'd associate your dad with Kerry Dublin, wouldn't you?
Very much so. Yeah, and yeah. He always said, Weeshie, that if Kerry wouldn't win the All-Ireland, he cheered for Dublin because Dublin were very good to him. Mind you, when he got back on speaking terms with Kerry again, he went on then to win four All-Irelands in 37, 39, 40 and 41. And what a lot of people would probably not remember, Weeshie, is that he actually finished his career with Dublin again in 45 and 46
yeah.
because he was still teaching in Dublin at the time, and it was always a hassle trying to get back to base camp until he eventually met my mother.
And of course he was a selector for the, I was on Kerry teams, minor, junior and senior, that your dad was a selector, and I always remember him sitting down with a hat on his head and a nice shirt and tie on him, and he's smoking a pipe. What tobacco did he use for that pipe? I often wondered.
You got me, Rishi.
I was playing under 21 for Kerry one time above back in 1962, and they took me off with 15 minutes to go. Ooh. And he says to me, "Do you smoke?" He says, "Young fella." And I said, "I smoke a fag." Well, he said, "If you want to be a footballer, give up the fags," and I gave him up after that. But I never became a good footballer, though. Peter O'Leary, you're very welcome to the programme. What year did you win your All-Ireland, Pete?
2000, Weeshie.
How important is it to be an All-Ireland medal winner and hold a medal in Kerry, Pete?
Well, obviously, every footballer in Kerry likes to get a hold of an All-Ireland medal, deserve to win an All-Ireland medal. So, naturally enough, it's the ultimate aim. I suppose the big thing the last 2 weeks is you don't have to go looking for tickets, because thanks be to God the county board right shouldn't offer your tickets.
How long were you goalkeeper for Kerry, Pete?
I started around 89-90
yeah.
and was involved until
now. I want to see how he's going to get out of this one. Listen to this for a question. Former Kerry goalkeeper, what do you think of the present goalkeeper? Has he any weaknesses or any strengths?
Listen, Kerry in All-Ireland, he's done well up to now and he'll be fine on Sunday.
Great shot stopper.
Very good, very good.
He had a great year.
Look, in fairness to Brendan Keely, like, I mean, everyone has to start somewhere. He's doing well. He's doing fine. He's doing very well.
He won't be far away from an all-star. As a matter of fact, against Mayo, the two or three saves he made, when you look back at the game,
yeah.
only for Brendan Keely against Mayo, Kerry probably lost the game.
Well, they certainly kept Kerry well in it.
Yeah.
Well in it.
Pete is going to be a tough one. It's going to be a hard one. How do you think?
Of course it's going to be hard. Like, I mean, the thing is, any All-Ireland final is a hard game to win. Kerry have the experience, they have the footballers. Dublin, you know, have been knocking on the door the last few years. I would expect Kerry probably by 2-3 points, but if Dublin win, it won't be a major surprise, because to be fair, they have been around, you know, and they're going to knock in the door sometime.
Yeah.
They're going to.
Peter, before I turn back to Cullum, as a former goalkeeper, as I say, Stephen Cluxon's kick-outs from the goalkeeper. He's after scoring 10 points, I think, for Dublin this year.
Yeah.
He's the third highest scorer on the Dublin team. But his kicks out are exceptional. It's a very hard to count. It's going to be fascinating to see how Jack Connor stops Cluxon's kick-outs going short the next, isn't it?
It is, of course, yeah. Like, I mean, you'd have to say, in fairness, probably all over the country, I say Cluxon is the best dead ball kicker in the game, probably.
Yeah.
And that includes forwards that are around the place, you know.
Yeah.
Because his accuracy is unbelievable, like, you know. But I remember back in 2000, Martin McNamara from Galway was a very good kicker of the ball, and the boys came up with a plan to counteract his short kickouts, and Kerry beat Galway in 2000, so it can be done.
Yeah.
It can be done.
Cullum, how do you read the game next Sunday?
I'd expect us to win it, Weeshie. I think the one worry is Dublin's performance against Tyrone was absolutely marvellous. They haven't produced that performance in any game, and they were lucky against Kildare and lucky against Wexford. Donegal game was a kind of non-event. I don't know how one would quantify it. But I think we learned something against Mayo in the semi-final, because as Mayo dominated early on and pulled a lot of guys back in defence, it showed that we had another plan, and that other plan was our half-back line came storming into the game and did untold damage to the Mayo defence. And when Mayo eventually had to come out and try and get the scores, we already had turned the game at that stage. So I think we have a good game plan. Dublin will try and run our defence off the field, but I think we're smart enough to cope with that. And in our forwards, we've got tremendous scoring power. And I'm quite happy with our midfield as well, Wishy. I think Brian Sheehan and Anthony Maher might step up to the mark on Sunday. Not that they haven't stepped up so far. They've done quite well. And I think we'll get there with maybe a little bit to spare.
Colm, as a matter of interest now, and not being too intrusive or anything, when your dad died, the two tickets that he'd always get, does that go with the debt in the family of a Kerry footballer?
It disappears, yeah.
Disappears. The two tickets are gone, yeah, unfortunately.
We tried to keep it alive, Wishy, but it didn't work.
Tried to pull every trick, I suppose.
Yeah.
By the way, Colm is the Radio Kerry golf analyst, and he's the golf reporter for Radio Kerry. He does great work for Radio Kerry, and also does. Peter, last word to you. Are you surprised Paul Gallivan isn't starting?
I suppose in a way, yeah, because we all know what Paul can do and how important he is. Then again, to be fair to Donegal Walsh, he hasn't exactly done a whole lot wrong this year, and in the last few years he's been unlucky to lose out, so you'd have to say it was probably a 50-50 call. I suppose they probably look at it the way that Paul will probably have a bigger impact coming on as a sub. He'd get the crowd going and he might kind of upset the Dubs a bit and whatever, you know, that maybe other fellas wouldn't be able to do so.
I think it would have been very unfair to drop Donegal Welch. I think after having a great year, he's a great worker and he gives it his all from the word go. And I think maybe the right decision was made. Best wishes to Jerry Toomey-Tralee, recovering from an operation. And best wishes to all in the speak. Wish you a great program. Noel Ahern in Cork, best wishes from brothers, from brother Michael. And all in the speakeasy. 066-712-3666 083-300-3300. Colm Kelly, thank you for coming in, Colm. You're on the road in Beaufort, across the bridge. You'll go up there in about 10 minutes.
Oh, man.
Peter, you're on your own the corner. You're not far from here either.
Right.
And your business, of course,
is
just up the lane, just around the corner. What business are you up?
Office supplies.
Office supplies.
Yeah.
Peter O'Leary, goalkeeper, office supplies.
Thanks, Rich.
We're going for a quick break. When we come back, we'll have lots of more people and we'll have more music to listen to. So stay with us on Terrace Talk.
Radio Kerry, live from the Speakeasy Bar, Killarney, for a Terrace Talk All-Ireland Final Special.
Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the programme. We're coming from the Speakeasy Bar here in High Street, Killarney, the Speakeasy Bar, run by the O'Donoghue family, family-run bar, one of the best sporting bars in the county. I wish you a big hello to Sean Fagan, listening in Scotland. Best of luck from all the Fagans. I think I know that Sean Fagan. His dad was the late Larry Fagan, who was a chairman of my own club, the Legion, one time. And if that is Sean, yeah, Sean, we send you the best. Wish you well done to Daddy Gavin talking to you from his son, Dara. So, Dara, well done to you there. Don't forget, in conversation next Wednesday night, I'll be in conversation with Charlie O'Brien. He's just after coming back from Mexico. He's after doing a programme for the television in relation to the San Patricios in 1846 and all about Captain John Riley. Don't miss that. It's going to be a fascinating programme. And the man who runs in conversation, David O'Donoghue, who's from Tralee, just after coming in the door, I see him. David, you're very welcome. Connie Kelly is on from Boston. Best of luck to Kerry on Sunday. Connie's listening over there. He'll be up at 5 o'clock to listen to the match. Thank you for that, Connie, on Radio Kerry. Joined by two more people there, a dub, Alan Bergen. Alan, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
And an old friend of mine and a great GMN and a great Dr. Croakman and a great Kerry man. He played minor hurling for Kerry way back in the 50s, Murt O'Shea. He's the dad of Pat O'Shea, who trained Kerry and managed him to win the All-Ireland. Well, Murt, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Richie.
But you go back, of course, a long way as you. The first All-Ireland you saw, what was it?
First All-Ireland I saw in 1946. Kerry and Roscommon.
Did you see the two games?
No.
Yeah.
We went up for the replay.
Yeah.
So I hope to go for the replay this year again.
Do you think
it might be another replay, maybe?
It could be. Going back to 19, great memories. And of course then, 1955, that historic legendary final when Kerry beat Dublin. Mm-hmm. And your great friend, Tighe Lyne, was the man of the match. Talk to us about that 55 final. How did you go up? Was it the ghost train?
Oh, the ghost train. Well, it was an early morning train anyway, because I suppose because the time in 56 was the steam train.
Yeah.
So we were all night in the line, and we were all morning in Dublin. We landed about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I suppose we must have walked 100 miles before any place opened.
Yeah. And head for the sideline then. You have to line up outside the park.
That's right. We lined up. We went down to Croke Park anywhere around 9 o'clock in the morning, and the gates wouldn't open till 12.
Yeah.
So we queued up there and we got into the sideline then.
Yeah.
And we were happy out inside here and we waited here. The whole match was on. And
it's great to be young, Mark.
It was on to us, right?
Come here, that kid, Kerry in Dublin. Kerry went up there. There was no way they were going to beat Dublin. Dublin was supposed to be unbeatable at the time.
But that's true, yeah.
Your great friend, I know, yourself and Tighe Lyon were like brothers. Tighe was man of the match that year. How outstanding was he?
Well, I tell you, the ball was only thrown in, and I can still see the first point. He came out, he broke out him, and he got it, and with his left leg, I suppose it must be about 55 yards out from the sideline over the bar.
Yeah.
And I knew we were on a winning note in after that.
That was
a great kick, yeah. He kicked 5 points or 6 points that day, I think.
He did. And of course, Tighe Lyon, the man he's talking to, one of the great footballers. We're in High Street here in Killarney at the Speakeasy. And Tighe Lyon, of course, just lived 3 or 4 doors up the road here. Is that right, Mark?
That's true, yes. Yeah, just up the street, yeah.
What's your favourite football memory, Mark, between Kerry, going following Kerry matches? What's the one? Would it be the one that your son managed Kerry to win the All Ireland? That must be
It was.
Great honour.
Great honour.
Yeah.
There was no doubt about it.
On the field then, what was the best thing you've seen on the field, Mort?
Well, I suppose the best thing I saw on the field was the Crokes winning the All-Ireland Club Championship in 92.
Of course, yes. And what about the Kerry perspective then?
Oh, Kerry, yeah. Well, I suppose they were all good matches, but I suppose 1959 sticks out a lot in my mind, but 46 Kerry wouldn't favour it either, like, you know, and they drew it. Roscommon had a great team that time too. Yeah.
And having the Gooch captain, of course,
is a
huge honour, a huge privilege, and it's unique, isn't it?
It is. Dick Fitzgerald was the last Croakman, I think you mentioned, yeah.
1913-14, indeed. Alan Bergen is in the Ballin, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
What are you doing? Mort.
Brady's father was in that team. He was centre half back in that didn't carry teams that time.
That's your wife.
My wife, Brady.
1913-14, he was centre back. Alan Bergen, what are you doing down this neck of the woods?
Well, I couldn't get a ticket, so I was deciding to come down to Killarney, you know.
Yeah.
Might get one down here.
Are you working or you're on holidays or what's
going on? I'm working at Dublin Fire Brigade, but I'm actually off leave at the moment, so myself and ourselves decided to come down and.
Yeah.
Well, sir, where else do you go if you can't get a ticket for Ireland? Come down to Killarney.
Are you a football man yourself?
Yeah, I would be, yeah. Ballyboden Wanderers is up in Mount Venus there in Rathfarnham.
Yeah, Ballyboden St. Enda's and Ballyboden Wanderers.
Yeah, there were two clubs themselves, but they divided. There was a bit of conflict, as you say, and two separate clubs divided, but I went with Wanderers and...
Yeah.
I've played Enda's for a while as well.
Come here, Alan. I'm going to ask you a question now. What's it like? This is a serious question now. Seriously, what do you pick up when you're down here in Kerry in relation to the atmosphere? And how do you read coming into pubs and listening to the football talk? And would you hear the likes of anywhere? I don't mean to be smart now or anything, but I want to know from an outside perspective now.
What's it like
in Kerry now?
We arrived down here about 2 o'clock today, and. We said we went for a few pints about 4 o'clock, and we did a few of the pubs around the town.
I'm very sober.
You're
out since four.
Well, I can handle the gargle.
You're out since four, and you're after 12 of them.
And Bilford is last.
Morty's not even stuttering.
I'm not stuttering.
The dubs are good for drinking porter, but they're not good for winning all islands.
It's 16 years since we won All Ireland. So
anyway, you've been out. What do you think of the atmosphere?
The atmosphere is great here in Killarney. Yeah. Absolutely magnificent. Now, in all fairness, now we did a few pubs before here, and the atmosphere wasn't that great. We came in here, and it was just alive, electric, electric. You know, and
would you be surprised at the knowledge of Kerry people in relation to football? You're listening to Morty. He saw Kerry winning in 1946. He can go back.
Kerry people, it's in their blood. Yes, absolutely in blood. My mother and father are from Kilkenny, and so hurling is in our blood. So the talk, when I go down home to where my mother and father are from, that's all they ever do is talk hurling. End of story. You come here, it's football.
Who just says with you?
My partner, Cassie.
Where's Cassie from?
She's from Bantry in Cork, so won't hold out against her anyway.
We won out. Anyway, Mort, turning back to
you. I was delighted when he said he was hearing the fire brigade in Dublin.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, are the Killarney fire brigade, is there some on holidays that they came down, because there'd be a lot of bonfires to be quenched?
Oh, hey!
I must say,
in my 13 years in Terrace Talk, Bert, that was the best quip I've heard. That they sent down the Dublin firemen to put out the bonfires. Aaron and Mort are having a big shake hands here. Well done. Listen to me, lads. Well, Mort, listen to me. It was great having you on, my friend. Going back to 1946. We often played against each other and we played with each other and everything. Mort, it was great to have you, my friend. Alan, it was great having you.
Nice
listen
meeting
to me. Well done. And listen to me. If you're around Monday, make sure you get all those hoses and good out here. And you can lend a hand to the boys.
I will, I'll give them a hand.
We'll put you in chat. This was great having you. And enjoy the rest of the week. Okay. All right, 066 712 366 083 300 3300. If you'd like to contact the programme, we're coming from the speakeasy here tonight. And don't forget, we'll be in the Gresham next Sunday morning between 11 and 1. And we'll be having a special Terrace Talk. And Eileen Mine and Andrew Morris here, the two producers tonight. And they're gone absolutely mad for me to finish up here. But I don't take much notice of them. And Liam is on sound tonight, doing a great job. And we'll be back shortly. Stay with us on Terrace Talk.
Radio Kerry, live from the Speakeasy Bar, Killarney, for a Terrace Talk All-Ireland Final Special.
Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the programme. We're coming from the Speakeasy Bar in High Street. You don't know who's run this bar. It's a great sporting bar. If you want to get the best pint in the 32 counties, come into the Speakeasy, because there's a head in it and you wouldn't find it anywhere in Ireland. I can tell you that. Now, so, oh, by the way, I just want to say hello to some little young man that I'm after meeting here from Douar. He's Michael Daly. He's all the way from Douar up there. And I want to say hello to his brother Jamie and his two sisters Hannah and Lily Daly. They're here with their dad and they're all the way from Douar. Michael Daly, it is great to have you on Terrace Talk. Okay? Nice to have you. Well done. Now, so, we want to have a great bit of shush because one of my favourite singers, an old Killarney man, well, he's not old, but he's an old Killarney man. I'll put it to you like that. Mike Sexton has gone singing a beautiful song. It's called The Contender, and he's accompanied by Padre Doyle, and they're over there in the corner. And Mike, as the fella says, in your own time, away with you with The Contender, because this is all about a great cockman, a great coveman, who was a boxer. And his name was, listen to the song, because you must listen to the words of it. A little bit of shush now for Mike Sexton, accompanied by Padre Doyle.
When I was young and I was in my day, sure I'd steal what woman's heart there was away. And I'd sing into the dawning, song ablaze into the morning, long before I was the man you see today. I was born beneath the star that promised all. I could have lived my life between Cork, Cove and Yall. But the wheel of fortune took me from the highest pine. She shook me by the bottle. If by the bottle I will fall, there in the mirror on the wall, I see the dream is fading. From the contender to the brawl, the ring, the roars, the matador are raving. And when I die, I'll die a drunk down on the street. You can count me out at 10 in clear defeat. Wrap the starry plough around me, let the piper's air resound me, there I'll rest until the Lord of Love I'll meet. Wrap the starry plough around me, let the piper's air resound me, there I'll rest until the Lord of Love I'll meet.
Mike and Padraig, well done there, lovely stuff. And of course all that song is about Jack Doyle, the great boxer who he fought for the world title, and he was from Cove, and he eventually he finished up in London. He finished up badly in London, finished up around the streets of London, and he's buried down in Cove. I visited his grave one time down there with a great friend, the great Jack Dye. Lovely song, Mike. Well done as always, and Padraig. We're going for a short break. We have loads of people to talk to, and we have loads of comments to call out. Stay with us on Terrace Talk.
Radio Kerry, live from the Speakeasy Bar, Killarney, for a Terrace Talk All-Ireland Final Special.
Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the programme. We're coming from the Speakeasy Bar, this All-Ireland Final Special, and Speakeasy Bar in High Street in Killarney, run by the O'Donoghue family. Come on, Kerry, let it rip, show the Dubs you got a grip. On the Sam with both hands, Colin Cooper is collecting the in the stands. And that's all the best from all in the Cartridge Company, and thank you for that, lads. Best wishes to Cullum and all the Kerry team. Looking forward to seeing you all in London in October with Sam. That comes from Christy Kassan, Danny Sullivan and all the Kerry Association in London over there. And thank you for that. Special request for Gary from listening from Gary Cronin listening in London, and we'll be watching the match in Ahador. I presume Ahador is a dangerous place to be talking about. Watching the match in his parents in Ahador, I suppose. Also, Owen Cronin listening in Ryslip in London, and who will be in Croke Park on Sunday cheering on Cullum, Owen and all the boys from Margaret, Tara Cronin and Sheila and Dixon and Sheila and Sheila Dixon in the Speakeasy. Thank you for that. Hi to Colin Watson heading to China, and we'll have his Kerry jersey with him on Sunday. We'll be listening to the match on Radio Kerry. John Paul Clifford wants to wish Dunica Welch the best of luck on Sunday. He'll be watching the game in the Holloway Bar in London. And welcome home to Roger O'Sullivan and family from Seattle, and hoping to cheer on Colm Cooper to win the Cup. Louise and Daniel and all in Hong Kong, and Christopher Sexton, Sarah and Melbourne. Yes, the way it was written. Yes, it was written down. Yeah, it was written down. Melbourne, which is Melbourne, isn't that right, Eileen? That's Eileen, the producer. She writes all them. No. I'm joined by three more people, Tomás Keller, Dave McIndoe, and Tom O'Donoghue, the owner of the Speakeasy, has finally relented to join us. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Wish.
You'd rather be talking about dogs now than football, wouldn't you?
No, not really. I've been listening to all night.
I know. Anyway, Tom, no. The reason why I asked you here, and I'm dead serious about this, the last time a Croke man captained Kerry in an All-Ireland final to victory was Dick Fitzgerald in 1913-1914. No Croke man has captained Kerry to win the Sam Maguire Cup. But, Tom, on behalf of Terrace Talk, I have a beautiful photograph here, a coloured photograph of Dick Fitzgerald, taken with the Cup at the All-Ireland Cup at the time. And he's standing, as you can see, in his green and gold jersey, and it's a unique coloured photograph. It's one of the few coloured ones of Dick Fitzgerald, 1913. And it says, Dick Fitzgerald, Kerry All-Ireland winning captain, 1913-14, Terrace Talk All-Ireland special from the Speakeasy, 2011. Best wishes from everybody. Tom, I just want to give you that. Get a frame in it. Put it up in the bar. I know you very well. I know very well you will. And it is a little memento. Mary, from Mary and yourself.
Thank you.
Take that, Mary. Coloured photograph of Dick Fitzgerald. And do you know what you can do? Next week, you can get a colour photograph of Colm Cooper, put it alongside him. How's that sound?
No problem at all.
Tom, anyway, before I go to the lads, I know you. The Speakeasy, the name itself, where did it come from? How do you think it all?
I'm not too sure.
This is a great one, though.
I'd say it just came to me.
Lovely name, Tom. That's a great.
During the problems in the United States, they were all Speakeasies that time, so.
they'd be kind of making their own hooch.
I heard you were trying to make a gangster out of me there earlier on. I'm not. I might be a croak, but I'm not a gangster.
Are you alluding to, are you actually a saint just because you're croaks and I'm a gangster? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it could be.
Because I'm a legion man and you're a croak.
Mickey
man.
Reedy told me that you could be saying that about me, alright?
Listen a bit, Tom, I know that you'd rather be a drink. Listen, you're a great pub, you're a great sporting pub, you serve a great pint. morning. Thanks for having us. It was great to have you. Yeah. Well, well done.
So we might be back next year again, always.
Well, with the help of God, with the help of God, Tom. Dave McIndoe, come in there, Dave. Of course, Dave is the head greenkeeper back there in the wonderful Killarney Golf and Fishing Club. Yeah. Dave, the atmosphere between the Irish Open and the atmosphere of the All-Ireland, compare them to us.
Well, the atmosphere between the two of them is hard to say, but there's 85,000 over 4 days in Killarney, and there's 85,000, I think, in Croke Park on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to give it to the GAA. But the golf was fantastic atmosphere, yeah.
You're living in Killarney how long now, Dave?
27 years nearly, Misha. I've got two boys played for the Legion, I thought I'd just get that in.
You have indeed, that's right, yeah. And one of them scored the winning goal in a county final 1 year. I was training them, isn't that right?
That's very true, Misha. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Back in Beaufort.
Back in Beaufort. And
I was training them as well that year. Come here.
A long time ago.
You're a Glasgow Celtic follower, of course. The G.
Who? Never heard of them.
Don't say the other crowd. Don't say the other crowd.
Never heard.
Come here, Dave. Gaelic football, since you came to Kerry, and what do you think about the way people treat it and the religion it is here?
I tell you what, the whole atmosphere of the All-Ireland is fantastic. To see the bunting around the town, to see the interest and the enthusiasm of all the people, it's just fantastic. And I went to two All-Irelands myself, but as a Scotsman it's nearly impossible to get tickets, you know. But I was at the Morris Fitzgerald final in 97.
Lovely.
And it was one of the highlights of any sporting career. And
do you know, there's only two All-Ireland finals in history called after people. One of them was the Sean Murphy final in 1959, and the second one was the one you said, 1987.
I never knew that.
Morris Fitzgerald final, yeah.
It was the Morris Fitzgerald final. He was phenomenal.
Tomás Keller, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Richard.
Tomás, how do you see things going next Sunday?
I would say it'll probably be a close game. Obviously, I hope Kerry win, and especially the fact that Cullum is captain. Cullum is a very active member of our golf club, and he plays regularly behind. So it'll be great for the town and obviously the golf club if the Cullum won as a captain.
By the way, before I must ask the two of you, what are the chances of getting the Open again next year, lads?
100%.
Well done. That's good stuff. Is that right, Tomás?
Well, Dave is very, I'd say 95%, just in case. I give myself a chance to get out.
Ah, yeah.
Just in case.
So I'm talking to a pessimist and an optimist. I prefer the optimist, I tell you the truth. Now I want to introduce another man, Don McMonagall, one of the best photographers in the British Isles, I'd say.
Thank you very much, Richie.
An award-winning,
with all humility.
An award-winning photographer. Don, you're going to be at... Everybody knows the McMonagall family in relation to photography. Don, you're going to be on duty next Sunday above in Croke Park. Tell us what you did be like in Croke Park.
Well, the first thing I'd say is that if somebody who has a seat above them, the gods of the Cusack Stand, think of a bad seat, then I have the worst seat in Croke Park, which is actually down behind the goal mouth.
Yeah.
Even though you're on the field to play and you're close to the action and you hear everything that's going on and you see everything that's going on, you actually don't get to see the game at all. It's actually a terrible place to actually watch the game and understand the game. But having said that, being there is part of the history, you know, you're up close to the action and... it's an interesting place to be. But
the Monaghans have been photographing all Ireland for how long, Don?
You summed it up there a few minutes ago, you Wishy. Photographs and radio normally don't go together, right? But you handed Tom O'Donoghue a photograph of Dick Fitzgerald, and you said it was taken in 1913, 1914.
And it came from your family?
My grandfather took that photograph.
Oh, listen.
Right?
Yeah.
And you suggested that he might get a photograph of Cullum Cooper with the cup. Well, hopefully... I'll take that photograph for him.
Yeah, isn't that a fabulous story? Isn't that a lovely story? Mary O'Donoghue there, standing with the... Mary, come in there and sit down. We have a bit of a chat with you there. Come in there. Mary O'Donoghue, Mary, she's the proprietress, and Tom, of course, is the landlord of this great premises here. Mary, you're sitting down there with that coloured photograph, and Don is just after bridging a beautiful gap. His grandfather took that photograph, and he's hoping to have the coloured one to put alongside that. Isn't that a great bridge?
Really looking forward to it anyway.
Yeah.
We would love to put Cullum Cooper beside it.
Yeah, wouldn't it be lovely?
And we hope he'll do very well on Sunday.
Yeah. Do you want to say something there, Don?
No, it's just that, I suppose the McMonagall family are synonymous with the GAA, Wishy. You know, either my father, Donal, or my uncle, Harry, or my uncle, Louis, or my grandfather, Daniel. We've been covering All-Irelands for probably probably 70 or 80 years.
What was the best sporting photograph you ever took?
Best All-Ireland photograph I ever took was probably when Kerry lost the five in a row. I have a wonderful picture which captures the moment of Jimmy Deanahan consoling Mick O'Dwyer. It's been used many, many times on the cover of various books, and you'll probably see another outing soon because I understand Jimmy Deanahan is writing some GAA memoirs, and I'm sure that'll feature in it as well.
Yeah. Mary, the speakeasy bar here, how long are you in business?
We're nearly 30 years here in business now.
Yeah,
it's our kind of lifetime now. Yeah. It's a hobby as well.
You've seen a lot of people passing through the doors.
Yes, we have some lovely, lovely people, I must say. Some very,
it's
very
always
nice
been a great
people.
Sporting pub. It not has, yeah. GAA,
from
but a great sporting
football
pub.
To horse racing, and the greyhounds, of course, come in as well.
Yes,
and the golf now has taken over as well.
We had the two golfers on there just earlier on. The golf plays a huge part in the life of Killarney, doesn't it?
It does,
and having the Irish Open here for the last 2 years, Mary, and the business-wise and all. Yeah. And I must congratulate you. Killarney, of course, won the Tidy Towns this year. Well done for that. And, of course, the speakeasy premises here is as good a decorated pub. You put an awful lot of work, Mary, into your flowers. Don, the speakeasy, I let you talk. She won't talk about that. The waiters decorated with flowers and...
Well, I went around Killarney, said it, the week before Killarney won the Tidy Towns, and I went out looking specifically for pictures that typified what Killarney looked like. And one of the pictures that... One of the most outstanding pictures I took on that particular week was the front of the speakeasy, because the flower baskets and the way they're decorated and the abundance of flowers, they're magnificent. And the colouring as well, you know, the black and the gold and then the purple flowering. Anybody, you know, you don't have to be a photographer to see that it's magnificent.
Mary, you take great pride in the speakeasy.
We just love doing the baskets every year and the window boxes. There's a bit of work involved, but we don't mind it really, you know.
And of course, as we were saying there, we're all delighted Killarney have won the Tidy Towns, of course, to never looking better. And another man who I saw got a big award last week over in Venice was Michael Fassbender, who was a Killarney man. He was voted the best actor in
I photographed. We have lots of pictures, and we've got historic pictures of Michael as well when he was younger, you know, at various locations around Killarney. So as he gets bigger, hopefully your pictures will get more valuable as well.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Well, Mary, it was great having you here. Gavin will be staying with us. Don, listen to me, you're after being at the Listowel races. How did things go?
Oh, massive crowds, 25,000 people.
Who won the fashion?
Her name was Maria. She was from Listowel. Maria Murphy from Listowel.
Maria, right? What was she wearing? Tell us.
She was wearing.
How is it everybody laughs when you ask a man what a woman was wearing? What kind of the hat was? Well, I have two daughters and a wife at home, and they're listening carefully now.
Okay, well, I can tell you now, she wore a blue outfit.
Listen to this now, ladies.
She wore a blue dress that she purchased, mother is a milliner.
Was it clockwise blue?
No, it was a sky blue. And she made the hat herself.
Yeah.
And she had.
What did she make it out of?
I don't know what she made it out of, with certain materials. And she made the flowers for her shoes.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Dahi O'Shea picked her. He was very impressed because, you know, with the Rose of Tralee just gone by, I think he went for the fact that she had the flowers on the heels.
Somebody
of her
said Dahi's a shoe man, all right. Where's she from, by the way, Don?
She's from the Stowell woman. And the girl who was runner-up is from Milltown, and the girl who was third is from Tralee. So it was an all-Kerry victory there today.
Listen to me, thanks
but,
for writing.
But I understand, I was gone beforehand, that Donie Sheehan was beaten, and the whole of Kerry had backed the horse for Bill.
Oh, yeah.
But he was beaten on the line, apparently.
Oh, for
I
Bill.
Wasn't there, for oh, Bill.
That was the sad note.
Yeah.
Don, thank you for rushing home and joining in and listening to me.
More than welcome anytime.
I hope you get... What would be the big picture now next Sunday?
The big picture next
what
Sunday?
What would be the one that would...
The big picture would be next Sunday, right? Of me standing at the corner...
See Eamon Cure there now after coming in, another great photographer, look. And he's taking photographs. Is Eamon a better photographer than you, do you think?
He's every bit as good as me. But the big picture would be...
Listen.
Colm Cooper holding the cup aloft... Right?
Yeah.
At the top of the stand, and me standing right beside him. And as he walks off, he trips, and I get the picture of him coming with the cup.
And his grandfather took the photograph that's going to be on the wall here of Dick Fitzgerald, the colour photograph, in 1913-14, the Kerry captain, that fabulous photograph. That's a Mac Monaghan photograph, and there'll be another one to go over to next week. Thanks for joining us, lads. We'll be back shortly. Stay with us on Telescope.
Let's go. Radio Kerry, live from the Speakeasy Bar, Killarney, for a Terrace Talk All-Ireland Final Special.
Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the Speakeasy Bar on High Street, Killarney, for the closing quarter of an hour of the match. Well, really, it is. Terrace Talk is a match in itself, of course, and the big game next Sunday, of course. Mark and Dan Cronin in Darwin in Australia from Max. Thank you for that, Max. That's Maxie McCarthy there, and I send best wishes to Maxie's mother also, and a great friend of mine. She was a great friend of my late mother's. Jean, who is listening up in County Clare. Jean, we're sending best wishes to you up there in County Clare. You're listening in. I wish you the time again, and Kerry in the All-Ireland Final has always taken me back to the time many years ago when I walked in the Innisfail and Mall at Friars Tuck and a touch of class gift shop. That was about 16 years ago when a young red-haired boy and a few of his friends used to pop in and out of the shop up to all mischief. Anyway, one day I asked the boys what would they like to do when they got older. Well, I never forget what Colum Cooper said. I want to play for Kerry, he said, that's all. It's amazing to see that boy that young to be able to follow his dream and fulfill his aspirations. This story is one of enlightenment for any person out there that with belief in oneself, persistence and practice always pays off. Just wanted Wishy to share this little story with you, and it's very inspiring to me. All the best of luck to the Kerry team on Sunday. Best regards, Rose in Maher's Fitness Store in Killarney. Rose, if you're in the Gresham next Sunday morning, drop in. We'll have a little chat about that. We are there from 11 to 1 o'clock. And don't forget, in conversation next Wednesday night, I'm talking to Charlie O'Brien about a wonderful story. A Killarney man just back from Mexico talking about the St. Patricians out there and the war that they fought for in 1846 for the Mexicans against the Americans. A Killarney man just back. Don't miss that next Wednesday night. Now, so we'll be going out very shortly. Gavin joins me to say goodbye. Gavin, listen to me. Great night and speak.
Absolutely fantastic, Rich. And I just thank everybody who turned up tonight. Like, it's just been phenomenal. Like, I actually didn't envisage that it'd be this big. Like, and everything. It's just like thank everybody here now. Like, everybody and everybody listening and everything. And just to wish, like, I suppose it'd be just fantastic altogether, like, you know, if Cullum, like, could bring it home this year. I mean, in the Killarney parish alone, like, we've I think there's 7 people in the Kerry panel from the Killarney parish, and it's unprecedented, really. Like, it's probably our golden era of having people in the Kerry team, like, in our Kerry panel. So want to wish all the boys the best of luck and all that, and hopefully the Gooch will bring it home. Like,
well done. And that photograph will go up alongside.
Oh, will go up
alongside Dick Fitzgerald.
It'll go
taken by 2 McMonagalls.
Yeah,
this was an amazing coincidence. I brought that down tonight now, and that Don come in. That gap bridge from 1913-14.
Well, Dan has a lot of photos now that I'm going to get off him. He's he's a list of them there that he's promised me.
The Terrace Talk team tonight was Sinead was back in sound in Tralee, and Mary was taking the calls back there. Eileen was producing the programme with Andrew tonight. Liam was on sound. That was your Terrace Talk team. I'll be back in the Gresham next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and then, of course, you can listen to the game live on Radio Kerry next Sunday. It will be going out live all over. Gary O'Sullivan and myself will be there. So we're going out with the busy music now. So everybody who listened in tonight, I would thank you, the listener. Everybody who came along, and to the O'Donoghue family. Mary wanted to say something there.
Max McCarthy would like to sing as well.
He'd like to which?
He'd like to sing. Max McCarthy
can join in there. He can join in. So here we go from the Speakeasy Bar here in High Street in Killarney. Cole Cannon and Max McCarthy joining in with them. So away with you, lads, in your own time, and all the best. Thanks for joining us on Terrace Talk. Here we go.
I keep going. For all our friends from the Slieve Locre area who gone to Australia, we dedicate this song to them. With me bundin on me short, me shillelagh in me hand, by the ramble of the bushes of Australia, I met a warden Irishman. My name is William Wright, in Dublin I was born, and for me bad behaviour, I was forced across the foam. With me bundin on me short, me shillelagh in me hand, by the ramble of the bushes of Australia, I met a warden Irishman. The wind being an orphan, game, we raised our sails with glee, and we gave hearty cheer, we by gone down the Irish Sea. We gave hearty cheer, by gone down the Irish Sea, and on 11th day of April, we land in Port McGee. We'll be bonding on me shore, me shillelagh in me hand, for the ramble of the bushes of Australia, I'm a true-born Irish man. When we reached old Melbourne, the ladies danced with joy, said one of them to the other, here comes an Irish boy. Some of them drank from glasses, and more of them drank from can. I sang and danced around the house, the health of this Irish man. We'll be bonding on me shore, the shillelagh in me hand, for the ramble the bushes of Australia, I'm a true-born Irish man. We'll be bonding on me shore, the shillelagh in me hand, for the ramble the bushes of Australia, I'm a true-born Irish man.
From Keely's Kilcommon to Machonsair's Gaeltacht, proudly supporting the Kerry team, this is Radio Kerry.